Hello, friend. Thanks for pressing play on this episode. Welcome back to our series with Amy Woodall on enlightenment in the modern world. And this is episode 2 of the series where we are going to talk about how to exercise the ego. And Amy, I want to know, what the heck does that even mean?
So think of exercise not like taking it to the gym, but a little bit more like, you know, like exercising the demons, like exercise the ego.
Okay. I gotcha.
So I'm really hung up on this idea of ego, Jen. When you hear ego, what comes to mind for you, though? I'm curious.
Something that tries to take control.
Yes. Yes.
And something that needs to be, I don't know if managed is the right word, but it's, there definitely needs to be an awareness of when it is stepping in.
Yeah. I think, and you're far more advanced than where I was a couple of years ago, because I think my mind was still wrapped around the idea that ego belonged to those people who would be on their chest and be, you know, sort of braggadocious about, hey, you know, is that a word or did I make that up?
I think it's a word now.
Okay, good. Yeah. About how, you know, how great they are and just were very, and I felt like that's where ego lived. Mm-hmm. But I've learned through reading and just some investigation and even through this whole mindfulness and meditation thing that ego is alive and well in all of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have this term. So I, by the way, guys, one of my favorite books of all time, and I have to say is probably the most transformative read as of yet. Mm-hmm. Always looking for other book recommendations, but the book The Untethered Soul, written by Michael Singer, was so transformative because he talked about the voice in our head. So if we're quiet and we say nothing, you know, there's this little voice that pops up that starts to talk about what are we going to have for lunch and why did she say that yesterday? And I wonder where my third grade teacher's living now. And just the sort of the crazy thoughts that happen. And in our office, because we talk about ego all the time when we're coaching, you know, leaders and just folks in these organizations and sales and customer service and everything, we sort of joke around and say, give it a name. Mm-hmm. And so we call it your roommate, Jerry. And I, if anybody named Jerry is listening, I apologize. I'm sure you're a very nice human being. But the roommate Jerry that lives in your head is kind of an a-hole. Like they're a jerk. They keep you up. It keeps you worrying about things that don't matter, things that aren't happening now. It keeps you anxious about the future and feeling, you know, sort of upset about what happened in the past. And it just robs us from being in the here and now. And in the here and now, in most cases, we're safe and we're okay and life is good. But it's hard to stay here because Jerry's always pulling us in one direction or the other. So I encourage people, give your ego, the inner voice, a name, because really it's not, it is not creating a version of reality. It's creating a version of distortion that gets us caught up in that emotional sort of turmoil that steals away joy and happiness and increases stress. So if you had to name your ego, what name would you give it? Like Natasha, or I don't know.
I don't know. I actually kind of like Jerry because, but all I can hear is Seinfeld.
Yes.
Like I just see Kramer busting in. Jerry! Which is kind of maybe how we deal. Maybe I'm a little Kramer-like.
That's, I like Kramer too, because that seems very fitting. I think there's a Kramer up there. There's a Kramer in there, but. Yeah. But I think having a name just detaches and says like, okay, this is not me. Mm-hmm. This is not necessarily reality. It's that cute little ego or annoying little ego up there trying to help force me to see things in a different way. And I think that one of the things that just really does keep us away from being the best version of ourselves that we can be is the little voice in the head.
Truly.
And if we can learn to manage it rather than allowing it to run us, we have found an entirely new level of ownership in life.
Oh my gosh.
It's just like, it's a game changer. And I know that term is thrown out there a lot, but mm-hmm. I can personally say for me, holy cow, I'm a better version of myself than I used to be. And then I feel very passionate about helping other people learn that too, the distinction between you and Jerry.
Yeah, just this conversation about actually naming it. I don't know what happens to our mindset when we give something a name, but it feels like
it just feels better. Like it's manageable at that point. Mm-hmm. At least for me, that's how I feel about it.
It kind of does detach it. What's that Disney? Yeah. What? Maybe it wasn't Disney. Maybe it was Pixar. What's the cartoon that was like all the emotions?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do know. And I fell asleep and I need to watch it.
Oh,
again.
Yeah. And they all had a name, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there has been scientific research that's proven that when we talk about our emotions out loud and say, I'm feeling angry or I feel anxious, and we give a name to it, that it actually helps us in the processing of that. And so I think to your point of giving ego a name, mm-hmm. it helps within the process. And even saying, I mean, I will say like, damn it, Jerry, you know, daggone it, Jerry, you know, stop trying to play those games. That uh-huh. is not, that's not how this is going down. And it is this cool level of like, man, I've got some new ownership over, you know, how I view life that's different than what it potentially was before.
So does Jerry just live at home, or when does Jerry show up for you?
So I think most of us are aware that Jerry, right, now that we've given it the name, that he's there or it's there when we're trying to go to sleep, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's the things that kind of keep us up and can keep us from sleeping. But he follows us everywhere. I mean, there's very little things that happen that Jerry is not commenting or having sort of like the color commentary on. Mm-hmm. Imagine it like the play-by-play announcer in your head. Right. Even when things are quiet, we're like noticing and calling things out and sort of being like, oh, that jerk in the red car just cut me off. And, uh-huh. you know, that's Jerry. He's like color commentating of everything that's happening. Mm-hmm. And I definitely see ego happening in the workplace. And I think there's an opportunity, again, to create these enlightened workplaces where people take extreme ownership. And in order for that to happen, step one is identifying the Jerry that lives within,
yes.
because this is where turf wars end up happening. Silos are built. People mm-hmm. do a lot of headbutting. There's finger pointing and blame. And the drama that happens in organizations is really at the basis. It's a Jerry conversation.
Oh, yeah.
One of my very dear friends who is a local coach, and you know her as well, is Des Garcia.
Uh-huh.
And she says, how you do anything is how you do everything. And I think that's so true. So the same with Jerry and how we're kind of showing up and allowing ego to take hold. And we know that we're in an ego space, specifically in, like, let's just say in a work life, when we are so attached to what keeps us comfortable.
Oh, yes.
When we're not willing to move outside of our comfort zone, because inside Jerry is freaking out when we're trying to do something that sort of busts us beyond and uh-huh. helps us grow. Jerry loves to just stay with like, nope, we're not doing that. That won't work because X, Y, Z, and sort of play, you know, the doubt that happens within our head. And so, yeah, it does follow us everywhere. I think it would behoove a lot of organizations to have the conversation of ego. It's a killer in morale. Yes. It's a killer in the results that organizations are able to achieve if we're working from a place that's ego driven.
Shut up, Jerry.
Shut your mouth, Jerry.
How have you found that mindfulness and meditation can help us recognize Jerry when he shows up?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And just the practice of mindfulness and meditation and paying attention to the thought. So if you go to a meditation class, or if you go through any sort of program, one of the things that they'll teach you and tell you is to release the idea that you need to judge your thoughts or your emotions coming up as good or bad. Okay. Jerry wants to judge everything. He is judgy Jerry. And he is sort of like, this sucks and they're bad and that, you know, there's really a lot of judgment that's put onto everything. And so mm-hmm. simply just saying like, oh, that's interesting that my brain is thinking about, you know, what I'm going to have for dinner later. Without the idea of good versus bad, it allows you to just watch what's happening. Watch sort of the Jerry color commentating that's happening and know that you're going to get wrapped up in it and feel like you become one with it. That all of a sudden you and Jerry become one and it feels like you're wrapped up in the madness. But meditation is meant to remind you, okay, release from the thought and come back to the breath. Release from the thought and come back to the mantra, whatever version of meditation it is that you're practicing. So for, you know, this piece of really relinquishing and exercising the ego and just being more aware of it, I'm not saying that you have to get rid of it. I met with someone for lunch recently who had a really good, we had this great deep conversation, which is always nice to have. And they said, you know, the ego is kind of there to protect us. It's not the enemy necessarily, but we've got to just recognize when it's getting in the way. And I think meditation and mindfulness helps us practice that.
Amy, what meditation technique do you recommend for this?
So I think a good one to practice would be what we call Anapana breathing, which is focusing specifically on the nostrils and the breath coming in and out. So I don't know if you're game for this, but
I'm always game.
Okay. So what if I walk you through just a quick, you know, meditation of Anapana breathing?
Let's do it.
Cool. And the listeners can follow along. Obviously, if you're driving, probably don't. Maybe save this part for when you're in a safe space. But we're just going to walk through like 2 minutes, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Of what this might seem like. Okay. So close your eyes. Go ahead and close your eyes. Kind of relax the body. Take a couple of deep breaths in and out. You can do it through the nose or through the mouth, whatever floats your boat. And now I want you to focus your attention on the nostrils and just the breath coming in and out. I don't want you to change the breath. Just kind of focus on what it feels like with the breath coming in and out. Just breathe with awareness. And if you find that your brain is traveling along, it's okay. Don't judge it. Just bring it back. Okay. So I know that's a quick one. It wasn't even 2 minutes. But for listeners who want to dive in longer, you can do that breathing for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And I mean, it was like 30 seconds, but how did it feel?
It felt really good. I just kind of felt chilled out. And just having... knowing where to focus was immensely helpful.
I think that's when I first was curious about meditation, it was kind of like, but how do you do it?
Right.
How does this work? And it's really, for this one specifically, Anapana breathing, is just focus on the nostrils and just be very intentional about putting all your focus on the nostrils. And the key here is without judgment, notice when your thoughts go off in a different direction, and it's okay. Just bring it back. Don't get upset with yourself. Just continue to come back to breathing. It's one of those things you can use to feel more relaxed, more centered, more in the moment.
Thanks for that.
Yes.
And we would love to hear how this is working out for you. So to continue the discussion, let us know what in this episode resonated with you or sparked an epiphany. You can connect with us on LinkedIn. I'm at Jen Eads, EDDS, and Amy is at Amy Woodall. Message us, let us know that you listened, or share the episode and tag us. But more importantly, if you know someone else that would benefit from hearing this, please share it with them. You can share links straight from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many other podcasting apps. Thanks for listening. Now get out in the world and do some good.